Welcome to 1UP's Family Transitions Podcast, a collection of stories and educational interviews about serving military families in transition. I'm your host, Jenny Ray, and I serve as an independent consultant with the Family Transitions team in 1UP, formerly the Military Families Learning Network. Our team provides education and resources for professionals working with military families to build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. Our goal is for military families to increase self-reliance and navigate each transition more successfully than the last. Today's episode, part three, concludes our three-part Strengthening Couples Relationship podcast series with Dr. Ted Futris. If you missed the first two episodes, go now and take a listen to them. You won't want to miss them, especially since this third episode builds upon the first two. So now in part three, we're going to look at how professionals can use a couples education and curriculum to help the couples that they work with practice skills and help maintain healthy and stable relationships. Welcome, Karen.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself briefly here?
Sure. Okay. I'm actually a program development specialist that works with Jenny in the family transitions team for 1UP. And I am really looking forward to having Ted come here and talk with us about this topic. I actually met Ted for the first time about 21 years ago during a snowstorm in Kansas City. We were at a conference for family life educators and specialists for the land grants. And there was a team of us that looked at relationship education, and that formed a really cool relationship over the years. He was at Ohio State at the time. I was at Michigan State. So
throw those teams
too
in
bad
there.
About the that rivals. Ohio State. I just don't get
Go
it.
Bucks.
Well, it's interesting to see that 21 years later, there's still conversation, there's still a relationship, and for all the work that's been done. So I'm going to introduce our guest. Today, we have the privilege of chatting with Dr. Ted Futris, professor in human development and family science at the University of Georgia and extension specialist in family life education. Ted's research has focused on couple and co-parenting relationships across various contexts in order to inform the development of programs and resources that promote healthy and stable families. He also evaluates the efficacy of family life programs in order to advance educational practices that lead to healthy couple and family relationships. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest, Dr. Ted Futris. Ted, welcome again.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So let's go ahead and have you share a little bit about what Elevate is and how it was developed.
Absolutely. So Elevate, Take Your Relationship to the Next Level, is a curriculum that that my colleague, partner in crime, Francesca Aller Bader at Auburn University, and her amazing team that I worked with there with the Alabama Healthy Marriage and Relationship Education Initiative, we put together. And it's grounded in the model, the National Extension Relationship Marriage Education model that we talked about in part one of the podcast. It also is grounded in the HERMIT, the Healthy Relationship Marriage Education Training, that we talked about in part two of the podcast. So Elevate kind of brought those things together. And, you know, because some of the feedback we were getting from folks that were going through the HERMIT, you know, that training, were like, do you have something packaged, right? Because they liked the flexibility of those worksheets that they could pull together and do a little class. They could integrate some of those skills into maybe something else they were teaching in another program. But they also wanted something packaged and laid out that they could do as a complete relationship education program. Mm-hmm. And so so we then started, you know, so Francesca and her team and I, you know, really started working on how to package this. They had actually kind of started to try to do something similar that they were implementing. And then I came in and we just kind of took the bull by the horns in a sense and said, okay, how do we just write this? So spent about a good year and a half just scripting this out, laying it out, kind of how could we translate it into a structured curriculum. So you'll see in the Elevate curriculum, a lot of the workbook activities that couples that are included in there for couples to do actually are very similar worksheets to what's in the Hermit, right? And so it's a structured, scripted curriculum. It's scripted not with the intent and expectation that the provider, the facilitator, read the script verbatim. It's not one of those curricula where you have to stick to the fidelity by reading the script exactly. You can't deviate. It's not one of those curriculum, but it's scripted to provide a little bit more comfort and ease to that facilitator who this might be their first time facilitating a program like a relationship enrichment program, and they're not ready to kind of find their voice and find their own words. So it's laid out there. Feedback we've gotten from folks is that's very helpful as they're learning to deliver the program. And so it provides a little bit of comfort to them. But it's a 8 to 12 hour curriculum that engages couples in some fun activities to process and learn those skills that are covered in the model, those 7 core skills. There's 8 modules in the curriculum. There are 7 core skills, but it's an 8 module curriculum. That first module is really kind of an introduction to help couples understand, here's what we're getting into, right? To help them understand. So that first module is an introduction that lays out, here's what we're going to be covering and why it's important. Because I think that understanding the why is always so important, right? Before you dive into the what, right? It's important for people to understand, well, why? Why does this matter? What, you know, not just what are we going to do, but why? Why, you know? And so right now we're implementing it as a 12-hour program as part of our federal grant. We launched it originally as an 8-hour program during the last funding cycle. I should give credit to the funder as well, because a lot of this was developed and tested as part of federal funding from the Office of Family Assistance under the Administration of Children and Families, as part of the Healthy Marriage Relationship and Education grants that were released in the last grant cycle. We're currently under the new grant cycle of funding, and we're doing an impact study. My colleagues at Auburn did a randomized controlled trial study last cycle. They're doing something very similar this time. So we're, you know, it's evidence-based. For those listeners who are like, you know, okay, is it just kind of one of those touchy-feely programs that just, you know, just on a whim made people develop? But it is grounded in research, grounded in science, and it's also evidence-based as well. So we actually have seen great results in positive changes in couples developing these skills and reporting improvements both short-term and long-term. Our findings go 6 months out. I know in Alabama, they are finding that these findings last 12 months and longer. Wow. So now it doesn't mean, you know, boosters are always helpful. I think, you know, kind of, you know, okay, you know, like I said in the last podcast, you know, I do these trainings and I get a little bit better in my relationship. And then I'm reminded I need a little booster from time to time. So I mean, remind, you know, go back through it again. But what makes Elevate unique, I think, from some of the other programs, in addition to those 7 core concepts that we cover, is also what's integrated into this is mindfulness practice. And so we're seeing so much more research coming out showing the benefits of not just meditation, but about being present in the moment, about being centered, about, you know, self-regulation being so important. How do you regulate your emotions, your how your body's reacting to stress? And so mindfulness practices are just one way, you know, using breathing techniques, using your breath as a way to focus so that you can try to minimize outside, you know, distractions so that you can become more present in the moment. And so we integrate mindfulness practices throughout the curriculum as a way to help couples learn that strategy and to, you know, when things get tense, to maybe center, you know, focus and come a little bit more centered and be more attentive. Or even using this, like when you're getting home from a busy day at work, before you get out of the car and walk up and open the door and get into the house, maybe sit in your car for a couple of minutes, just breathing, relax, you know, focus on, you know, letting go of what you've left behind and focusing on what's ahead. And so that when you walk through that door, you're present and in the moment. So that's a unique quality, I think, aspect of Elevate.
For sure. I think maybe we can take a time, you know, a moment to see what that mindfulness might look like. You can maybe like practice with me and Karen or something.
You know? Sure. We can absolutely do that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And our listeners can join us as long as they're not driving.
Exactly. Yes.
If you're please driving, do not close your eyes.
Maybe do some of this, but don't close your eyes. But I'd be happy to do this. Absolutely. You know, and so we want to do it now.
Sure. That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so this is just one of the mindful practices that we do in one of the modules, where we, you know, so just, you know, find yourself, just get in a comfortable seated position. You know, again, if you're driving, don't get too comfortable. And if you would like, you're welcome to close your eyes. Again, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. Okay. And just breathe normally, relax, disengage from the stressful feelings and thought, and just shift your attention to your breathing. Breathe deeply in and out. And don't worry if one breath is deeper than another. Just keep your focus on the breathing. If your mind wanders away from your focused breathing, that's okay. Don't worry. Just bring your attention back to your breathing. I'm just going to do that for a while. Just focus on your breathing. As you continue to focus on your breathing, I want you to think of a memory that's full of joy or gratitude towards your partner, or if you're not in a relationship right now, towards a loved one, close friend, someone you care about. And I want this, you know, this memory, you know, to be something that just brings you just positive joy, emotional feelings. I want you to focus on that feeling that comes to mind about that person and just hold that thought, that memory, as you continue to breathe. Shift your attention back to just your breathing, focusing on your breath as you're breathing deeply in and out. Again, just focusing on your breath and your breathing. And when you feel comfortable, if your eyes were closed, you can slowly opening them, become aware of your surroundings. Again, if you're driving, I hope you didn't close your eyes while you're driving. And just mm-hmm. you know, come back and be in the present moment.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Sure. Now I can't claim to be the best expert at doing mindfulness or.
You're pretty dang good.
I can't claim that I do this all the time. You know, my boys would always joke, you know, because I would always, like, you know, they were irritating me. I just would stop and breathe, and you know, like, take a deep breath in and just out. And of course, they would mock and go. you know, like, right now, you're not helping me, okay? You need to leave me alone. I'm just trying to calm down.
Mm-hmm. And to your advantage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to your advantage. So maybe you might not want to be mocking me right now.
You know? Or it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is. There's great power in just kind of the breath, you know? I mean, when your body is not oxygenated, right, mm-hmm. it's just... you know, it's hard to focus, right? And so sometimes just how do you calm your body down so you can be in the moment, listening to your partner or your kids, whoever, right? And so that you can just calmly respond, mm-hmm. right? Being a Greek-blooded individual, you know, we're known for just kind of our quick reactions and tempers, and sometimes, and we're hot-blooded sometimes, and like this kind of helps, like, okay, maybe just slow down and before we respond and react, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Ted, I know this is a little bit of an aside from what we're focusing on here with the Elevate curriculum, but I know you've used this approach in your Project Free, which really targets or engages single parents and maybe people who may face barriers and inequities. And what have you found with using this through that program?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, as you know, Karen, we used your great curriculum, Together We Can, and kind of scaled it down for our single parents, and so we integrated mindfulness into a lot of the self-care components, and it was amazing to see the transformation in some of these, you know, in so many of the single parents, mostly mothers, right?
Right.
The majority of who we worked with were single parent mothers, and to see the transformation that when they first came into the class, how kind of they weren't fully like, are you here really to help me? They didn't fully trust us. Mm-hmm. They have a chip on their shoulder. There was some anger. There was, mm-hmm. you know, a system, their children's dad. I mean, I remember listening in and hearing one of the moms just wanting nothing to do with her child's father, just so much anger. And so over the course of the program, which spanned, about 6 weeks, you know, they, as they start learning these skills and we see them just sitting in the room, eyes closed, sitting comfortably, breathing, seeing them get relaxed, and over time, just kind of finding peace. Mm-hmm. And then once you find that peace, then you open yourself up to possibilities, to learning new skills. You open yourself up to, you know, wanting something more and better. And it was great to hear, you know, the facilitator, I remember coming and sharing with us that she ran into this mom in a supermarket. And she said, I've reached out to him and we're talking. Yeah, because I know it's good for my. I know it's going to be good for my child. I still don't like them, but we're talking, and so I think, you know, I think mindfulness practices can help settle you down so you can kind of be open to that. I mean, there's a lot of research out there showing how practical it is in other settings. I mean, I would think with your military, you know, that I'm sure military probably. I remember seeing one time, like, there are certain breathing techniques that they utilize just to calm their body down so that they can fall asleep when they're out in combat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's hard when you have, you know, things happening all around you to get your sleep, but there's strategies they use, breathing techniques they use to help them fall asleep, right? Similar applies in other contexts, but also research showing, like, even with kids, like, it'd be amazing if our school systems would incorporate this more into just the daily routine, right? Imagine if before you pass out the test, mm-hmm. you have your kids just put their pencils down, sit comfortably, close their eyes, and just take a couple of minutes just to relax and breathe. How, and then you pass out the test, and that stress that was there anticipating this test, now, you know, maybe it's lessened and they're ready to kind of engage and focus, you know. So, and there's research showing the benefits of that when schools and classrooms utilize those techniques, scores are higher, less arguments, less fights. And so there's a lot of value, and there's so much research coming out showing the benefits of this. It's just, you know, how do we incorporate it more into our lives?
Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting. A number of years ago, we had a co-parent court project that used Together We Can and had some other features where unmarried parents were trying to figure out their custody and support arrangements. And one of the judge that was kind of spearheading this, he always started our meetings with a moment of mindfulness for a few minutes. It was it was really interesting.
That's great.
Some people thought that might have been a little woo-woo at the time because that was early.
Right. Yeah, and it takes some getting used to. I know in our LLA program, when it's always fun to see when couples are doing this in the room, and there's always that one or two who are a little skeptical, so everyone has their eyes closed, and I know your listeners can't see me right now, but they might have that one eye open, because they're peeking around the room to see what everybody else is doing, to say, you know, like, okay, people are doing it, all right, and there might be some reluctance at first, but then, you know, in the next class when we do it, in the next class when it's done, they just kind of find, like, okay, this is doable, this is good, this is helpful, so... Yeah. So I think it's a great component to the Elevate program that I know my colleagues Francesca and Julia McGill that worked with her really kind of incorporated into this curriculum based on some of the work they're doing. They're doing some great work there, and I think it's an asset to the Elevate curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I just wonder if you could share, you know, some of those, like, the data behind, you know, Elevate. What are the things that you guys have learned based on the program being out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, so far, you know, again, the curriculum focuses on those seven core principles and skills that are reinforced in the model. Now, you know, like I've mentioned in the other podcasts, in Extension, we love our acronyms, right? So Elevate does actually stand for, you know, it's actual acronym. Now, so your listeners aren't confused. It is grounded in the same model, but we use different terms. We have Empower Yourself, which is the self-care concept, mm-hmm. right? Which mm-hmm. that's the first E in Elevate, mm-hmm. right? And then there's Lay the Foundation, which is Choose, that's the L. Enlighten, which is the know, the value, which is care, attach, which is the share concept, tame, which is the manage concept, and engage, which is the connect concept. So when you put those letters together, it spells Elevate. So just, you know, we stuck to our acronyms, but just so when your readers see it, it's like, those are different names. Yeah, they're different, but different names, just so we can spell Elevate. But because the original model, I'd hate to try to pronounce what it's, I'd like to buy a vowel to make a word out of it. So it'd be a bunch of consonants there.
I was going to say, I think most of those components are a consonant.
Yeah. So it reinforces those skills. We are seeing when we're measuring that folks are improving, reporting improvements in engaging those behaviors. So for example, intimate knowledge, you know, when we measure awareness, just, you know, becoming more aware of their partner's interests, their goals, listening to their partner, making time for each other, how they're handling their conflict and differences are improving. So across each of those concepts and skills, both our research here is showing it in Alabama, what they're releasing, publishing is showing it, just how couples are reporting improvements before and after the program, and how those improvements are sustained 6 months and 12 months later in their relationship. We're seeing that those improvements are linked to feeling more satisfied in their relationships, feeling that their relationship can make it, feeling that they want their relationship to make it, right? And it's also linked to co-parenting. We're seeing that those improvements and practicing and utilizing those skills make lead to them feeling more supported in their co-parenting relationship, right? So when my partner is showing appreciation and opening up and we're talking and we're handling our differences well, that leads to us then working together better for our kids, mm-hmm. right? And so we see that they're less stressed in terms of with regards to parenting. One of the interesting findings we're finding is how these improvements are also linked to lower financial distress. Mm-hmm. Now we do cover a little bit in the module on enlightening about talking about your goals and setting expectations, and in there we talk about expectations about money, because you know money is one of the things that couples next to sex and kids fight about the most, right? Mm-hmm. And so we talk about, you know, we provide a little worksheet and some time for them to talk about what their expectations are regarding money, but that's just one small piece of the program. But what we were finding is, you know, when you think of financial distress, it's more subjective, right? So we're not talking about your financial situation, like your income, which is more objective, right? Because you could have very little money in the account and not feel distressed because you feel like I've got what I need. But you could have a lot of money in the account and still feel distressed because you feel like you're not able to do all that you'd like to do, right? Mm-hmm. So just financial distress is very subjective. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is couples, especially women, are reporting lower financial distress, because a lot of who we worked with were couples that are in the child welfare system, so they're often more distressed. And they're reporting financial distress decreasing over time. And now we haven't actually run the models yet to really iron it all out, but the pattern we think what we're seeing is when couples engage in these skills of talking with each other, understanding each other's needs and concerns and their goals, they're planning together, then they know what's going on. And they're, and particularly when it comes to finances, right? Mm-hmm. And they feel like less worried about it, mm-hmm. right? And so it's really neat to see that connection. They're feeling less stressed when it comes to parenting. We also found recently, what one of the papers we've got coming out shows that, you know, like mentioned earlier, mindfulness is such a strong component to this. And what we're finding is that we're seeing individuals in the program reporting that they're practicing that more over time, over a 6 month period. And when they do, they are more likely to engage in those relationship skills, behaviors that they're learning over 6 months. So those are linked, that when you become more present and in the moment, you're more inclined to then use these skills in your relationship, which is really neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're preventing that flooding that can occur. Yeah, you know, exactly. That what you said about the financial reminded me of one of the outcomes from the co-parenting court. What they found is that when the couple, both the parents, went through co-parent court and went to the class and mediation and all those kinds of things and had a parenting plan, child support payment went up. That reduced that barrier that sometimes is there because of the conflict between the parents.
Right. Well, and if you think about it, a lot of times, you know, when that non-resident parent refuses to pay child support, a lot of times it might be they just financially can't.
Right.
But in the cases where they financially can, they don't want to. A lot of times it's because, well, what is she doing with the money? Mm-hmm. Or is she really using this to help the kids? Mm-hmm. Or she's probably just getting her nails done and her hair done, right? But when you start working on developing those skills to communicate with each other so that you don't get angry, so that you can be heard, so that you can listen, then you get on the same page, and then you're like, oh, okay, so this is why you need the money. This is how you're using it. This is how, you know, you get on the same page. And then, you know, dads, which oftentimes is the case in terms of non-resident parents, the majority, you know, are more inclined to say, okay, let me help then. You know, how do I help? How do I fulfill my responsibilities here, right?
Sure.
So it's not that they don't, you know, it's not that they can't a lot of times, or that they don't want to. It's just they question the why. And I think, you know, how parents, when they're not together, how do they talk about those things in a way that they feel listened to and heard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and same with, you know, thinking about, you know, working with military couples, you know, it's there's a lot going on. There's a lot of change, a lot of moving parts, things that are outside of your control, outside of your ability to decide what's going to happen, because you're basically taking orders and you're called to duty. And so you've got to immediately adjust. So what, you know, this program, I think, can help provide those couples some of those skills to one, just kind of breathe and process it and manage that stress, so that they can then communicate with each other calmly, ask each other the questions they need, understand that, like, maybe, okay, yeah, my partner is not trying to interrogate me or make me feel guilty. They're just trying to connect and understand. So, mm-hmm. So it creates kind of a calmer environment to communicate. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be stress or tension in a relationship, but I think you develop, you know, here what we're trying to do is help couples develop the skills to handle that stress and tension mm-hmm. a little bit better, right? So this is not therapy. This is not counseling, which is aimed at, like, working with couples to fix a problem. Here, we're not fixing a problem. That's outside our wheelhouse. Here, we're giving you the tools mm-hmm. so that you can work on fixing the problems yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if that's still hard, then we recommend going to someone, a professional like a counselor or therapist, who can help you with your specific challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out. I think that, you know, some of our listeners, too, will be, some of this topics might be outside of their scope. They might be financial counselors. And so now talking about relationship education might be like, well, that's kind of my scope, but not really. So
yeah.
I think, it's always good to refer.
That's often what leads to some folks being reluctant, like, oh, well, I can't teach this program. I'm not a counselor or therapist. Like, no, this is not counseling or therapy. Now, it doesn't mean that just anybody can pick this up and go teach it. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you know, do you feel comfortable engaging with a group? Do you feel, can you facilitate activities? It takes some training to facilitate effectively, right? And, but with Elevate, we lay it all out. It comes with a guide to understand the why, the background of the material. We even have some facilitation tips, some recommendations on how to structure your classes. Each of the modules is really nicely, simply laid out. With guidance and instruction, so that someone new to teaching something like this can pick it up and learn. And it's very engaging. I think, you know, one of the things that I always reinforce when I do these trainings is we've structured this in such a way to where, even though it's a class with a group of couples together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's interaction between couples in the class, but we've structured the activities to really focus on each individual couple. Mm-hmm. So when these activities are done, the couple each has, you know, you give, it comes with a workbook. So you provide couples with a workbook, two workbooks, one for each partner, right? And we do that intentionally because each partner has their own workbook, so they can fill it out themselves, right, and answer the questions. And so every activity involves them filling out their own workbook and turning towards each other, sharing their responses, talking about their responses with each other. So they're spending, you know, that 8 to 12 hours in the program kind of connecting and then practicing those skills connecting so that when they leave the program, they can continue that. So it's not about then them turning and sharing what they talked about with everybody in the classroom, because that's kind of their own private moment. And so we're not focusing on them opening up to everybody in the room. So for couples that might be listening and worried, like, oh, I don't want to go to some group psychotherapy session where I have to share my feelings with everybody. No, that's not how this program is structured. Mm-hmm. You're going to share your thoughts and feelings with your own partner and do these activities with your partner. But that, I think, is what we hear from couples, that they really do value and appreciate. I remember in the last grant cycle we had, we did weekend retreats with our foster couples, a Friday night banquet dinner with a nice meal and then followed by a couple of hours of programming, and then all day Saturday to go through the rest of the program. And I remember getting pulled to the side by one of the men in the program, who just said, you know, just thank you so much for this weekend, because I had no idea what my wife has been dealing with and that and what she was feeling. And this is probably the most we've probably talked to each other about it in a while. And so it just gave us the space and the opportunity to just talk, right? And he loved it. I remember seeing on one of the evaluations, one of the wives wrote, they were anonymous, this weekend saved our marriage.
Wow.
Right? And to think that, like, just 8 hours might have done that, I thought, wow, that's quite powerful, right? And so really, it's a fun program. Couples laugh. I remember doing this program once. It was at a foster care conference, and couples had an option to do this all-day workshop with us. And we had about 25, 30 couples in the room.
Wow.
And I remember this one couple vividly because they sat in the front, and they had probably, at the beginning, about 2 chairs between them. Something obviously happened the night before, right?
Yeah.
You can tell they were just there. They're like, you know, they had signed up, so they had to be there, you know, because they already committed to it. And they're sitting there, arms crossed. And over the course of the day, you could see them slowly getting closer and closer. It was great. Like by 5 o'clock at the end of the day, when we were wrapping up, they were on top of each other. You know, I mean, not like physically, like clothes off or anything, but they were just laughing and hugging, and they had spent the day just kind of reconnecting.
Wow.
It was just great. It was amazing to see just over the course of one day, you know, how things kind of evolved. But we create a safe space for them to connect, to bond, to talk, to practice these skills, to learn some skills. A lot of what we cover, they might already know. What this does is reinforce what they're doing well, and they might pick up something new.
You know, that reminds me too that the research on couples education shows that even highly conflicted couples benefit from couples education. The other thing is some people won't go to therapy or see a clinician about their issues. And sometimes by going to couples education or relationship education, they decide, yeah, it's probably time to do that.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Thing. Those are really, yeah.
We found that as well. When we went at the end of the program, some couples realizing, okay, this opened our eyes to what we need to be doing, and I think we need some more help to do it. And that, I think that's a success. That's wonderful, you know. I think it's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are definitely powerful successes. I wonder, okay, so you're talking about how Elevate is a program that's, you know, like a package deal. So this is grounded at the University of Georgia, correct?
We distribute the curriculum here, but it was developed in collaboration with our colleagues at Auburn University.
Okay.
But yeah, it's distributed through here at University of Georgia. So if they were interested in accessing it, again, the wonders and joys of extension, right? We develop these resources because we want them to get out there. Mm-hmm. You can get this for free. I mean, you can go, if you go to our website, all you have to do is just create an account to access, you know, provide your name, create a username, password, tell us who you are, and you can access the curriculum for free to download. Download all the pieces. You can print it all out. Now, what I tell folks is it's free, but if you're going to print this out, especially if you're going to print it out in color, the time it takes you to download it, print it, the printer ink cartridge and all that, you might as well have just purchased it. So we do offer it. I think it's like $60-$65 to purchase the whole curriculum kit, which is, you know, when you compare it to some of the other curriculum that are out there, it's a really amazing. It's like a third of the cost, if not more than that, for most programs. But it's very low. So we really try to provide low to no cost resources that work, that help. Mm-hmm. And so they can access that for free on our website.
Great. Thank you for sharing that.
One other thing. I know our time is getting short here, but I hate to miss the opportunity. Ted, I am looking here on the website again to the Guide to Effective Programming that was created by Nerman.
Yes.
And am reminded about, even 10 years later, that this information is really good. And if someone is interested in learning more about relationship education, this would give them some good tools.
Absolutely. If they go to Nerman.org, that guide, which you were contributing author to as well, Karen. Thank you.
I was.
But it has, you know, so our extension specialist kind of shared some resource information in there, about what relationship education is, how to integrate into your community. If you're doing youth focus, there's a whole lot of resources out there on helping young people understand what healthy relationships are, working with step couples, low resource couples, and capacity building. So we've got those resources that if you're just getting started, you know, we got the model, we got the Guide to Effective Programming, we've got the Hermit, we've got the Elevate. So it's all right there if it's something you really want to start integrating into the work you do with to support families.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's all there for free.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jenny, for letting me get that plug in.
No, I appreciate it. It's always good to point that out. And there is so much good stuff out there. So please check that out. The final thought I have is the aspect of, you know, COVID-19, professionals working from home, the aspect of serving families from afar. How might they be able to use, or what, you know, like from your perspective, how they might be able to use Elevate?
I'm so glad you asked. So, you know, when we originally developed Elevate, it was designed as an in-person group program, right? Working with groups of couples. And yeah, when COVID hit us in 2020, we had to pivot, just like a lot of other folks did, to, okay, how do we do this work when folks are virtual? So we transitioned to offering the program to couples using Zoom virtually. We worked with close to 120 couples over that first summer of COVID, and from that experience, we kind of, you know, learned kind of how best to adapt some of these activities. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is it didn't require a whole lot of adjustment because so much of the curriculum is it's activity based, but with each partner working. So here's a couple sitting on the sofa in their living room with their workbooks that we ship to them. And we cover the concept, we illustrate what that means. We say, all right, now take 10 minutes. And I want you to sit with your partner. I want you to fill out your workbook. And now turn to each other, share those responses with each other. So here they are on Zoom, muted, talking with each other, doing those activities, able to ask us questions if they have any. And they're just able to do that from the comfort of their own home. So it really worked. And we found just how much couples benefited from it when they couldn't get out. And so with this new grant cycle, one of the things we're looking at is how does this program, we're actually now testing, does this program yield the same positive short-term and long intermediate effects, you know, 6 months out for couples who participate in person compared to virtual. Mm. So we adapted the curriculum, included some virtual adaptations. So when you now go online to access the curriculum, those virtual adaptations are already now integrated into the curriculum on how to do some of those activities a little bit differently if you're virtual. But we're seeing, you know, really positive effects. I mean, so far, I mean, even this year, first year, out of the, was it close to 250 couples we worked with, about 150 of them have been virtual so far. So we're continuing to do that. But it definitely works. So, and for our military, one of the things we found was this is especially helpful for military couples. Mm-hmm. It was so neat to see when COVID hit. I remember sitting in on one of the classes, one of our couples that was enrolled was a military couple. And I know there were others, but she was home. And her partner, he was deployed. Mm. And I'm not sure where, you know, they would have killed me if they told us. Probably. You know, right? So you know, so they were someplace, I don't know where. But it was a different time zone and everything. But he made the time to hop on right onto Zoom with his partner, and they're sitting listening, and then because we shipped him his workbook. Where he was, I think we did, or we might have sent it electronically because I don't think we could have shipped it, but we sent it electronically, so he was able to like download it and have it. And she was at home, but when it was time to do those activities, we put them into a breakout room together. Mm-hmm. So they're in a breakout room, two different screens, seeing each other, able to talk with each other, do the activity and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then we could pop in and check in. How are y'all doing? Good. Okay. Got two more minutes. Okay, great. We bring them back in the room and they could then engage the rest of the group and then put them back into the breakout so they can do it. So here they are thousands of miles apart, able to participate in the program together and connect, which I thought was just amazing. So mm-hmm. we're in this grant, we're really also really aiming to work with more military couples. And I think that Elevate Virtual can be really helpful when they're deployed. Because I know one of the challenges doing programs like this is just the time, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, okay, we could start this program, but then we might be halfway in and then one partner gets deployed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, how do they finish? Well, if there's a way that, okay, they start off in person, but then they get deployed, if there's a way for that person to connect, they can finish out the program with their partner, wherever they are, you know, depending on the circumstances of where they are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, depending on the deployment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the virtual app component of this, I think, has made it possible for couples who are together but physically apart to participate in this program and connect with their partner.
Mm-hmm. And what better time, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because when you are apart, that's kind of when the space where you miss them the most, or working these things of these arguments of when they first left, and you're like, we never dealt with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially the absolutely. Financial piece. I think that, you know, one parent takes over that and or person. Yeah. So lots of aspects that I think would be very versatile and very useful for military couples.
You bet.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts or take home messages for our listeners today?
Yeah, you know, I think I would encourage, you know, the professionals listening, you know, go check out the resources online, see what they're about, reach, you know, feel free to reach out to me if you have questions for families that are listening, mm-hmm. you know, reach out to your local extension office, see if they offer this program. And if not, ask, say, hey, is this something y'all might be able to offer? Mm-hmm. And then go to the service providers, wherever you are to say, hey, this is, you know, check this out. You know, this is something that we could really benefit from in terms of creating a sense of community and support for each other.
This concludes our 3-part podcast series with Dr. Ted Futris. Remember, if you missed the first 2 episodes, we encourage you to go back and listen to those first. You won't want to miss them. Want to learn more? Be sure to check out our OneUp website for additional resources, including blog posts, webinars, and our 5-part webinar series on military couple relationships. From all of us at OneUp's Family Transitions team, we thank you, Ted, so much for chatting with us today and sharing your expertise. For those listening, thank you for joining us. We encourage you to refer to the resources mentioned in this podcast on our webpage under the list entitled Additional Materials. Be sure to check out other podcasts, blog posts, and free webinars from our website at oneup.org. This production is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award number 2019-48770-30366.